Welcome back to In the Moment. This weekend marked the 141st anniversary of the Battle of Little Bighorn, known to the Lakota as the Battle of Greasy Grass. The battle, which occurred along the Little Bighorn River in eastern Montana Territory, was the most significant action of the Great Sioux War of 1876. While reading material about the battle is abundant, historian Todd Harburn covers one of the lesser-known stories in his new book. It's called A Surgeon with Custer at the Little Bighorn, James DeWolfe's Diary and Letters, 1876. In the spring of 1876, a physician named James Madison DeWolfe accepted the assignment of contract surgeon for the 7th Cavalry, becoming one of three surgeons who accompanied Custer's battalion at the Battle of the Little Bighorn. Killed in the early stages of the battle, he might easily have become a mere footnote in the many chronicles of this epic campaign, but he left behind an eyewitness account in his diary and correspondence. Prairie Public's Ashley Thornburg spoke with Todd Harburn last Monday. He explains what's different about his book.
Dr. James DeWolfe was one of three surgeons who was with Custer's battalion out at the Little Bighorn, and he was one of two that were killed during the battle. What is significant about himself is that he left a diary and letters to his wife that he wrote on the expedition out to the Little Bighorn, and those survived the battle. They were picked up by his friend, one of the other surgeons, the only one to survive, Dr. Henry Porter, and those survived, and they tell us a great story of exactly what happened on the expedition out to the Little Bighorn. And this is not about the battle, because he was killed in the early stages, but it tells a lot of other significant aspects about the time and era that he found himself involved.
So sort of more the human element. We get these big broad in scope sorts of books where we just are pitting one side against another, and it's big groups of people. And this is really focusing in on, you know, in specific one human and kind of his role in this.
Exactly. DeWolfe, although he was an experienced Army man himself, he was just an ordinary person like all the rest of us. And he and his wife were involved in this era. And so a lot of the things that we focus on in the book are not so much military aspects, but the people and places that he talks about. And also, I underline some, being a medical person myself, underline some of the medical aspects that he talks about. And I wanted to compare some of those things of how they were treated in the 19th century, compare those to how they're treated today. And I found a lot of that fascinating. Even though I'm a specialist, you still have to learn some of those things in medical school. So,
sure. Well, this is a time period where germ theory, even though it had been proposed centuries ago, was just barely starting to eclipse the miasma or bad air theory of what causes disease. And this predates the discovery of viruses, even. What was it like? What was the state of medicine like during this time, 1876 specifically?
Well, you make a great point. It was still very in its infancy, and a lot of the injuries that were received out in the Plains, Indian Wars, and so forth, whether they were gunshot wounds or arrow wounds, a lot of times the definitive treatment was amputation. But a lot of the other entities that they treated, some of the things that we know of today, like pneumonias and pericarditis and things that he talks about, it's interesting to see some of the treatments they used for those. And I used some of the 19th century medical books, actually one that he used at Harvard. And it's interesting that because a lot of the substances they used to treat these entities caused the same symptoms that you were trying to get rid of. So that was kind of interesting to see some of those aspects.
What were some of the treatments?
Well, for example, he talks about on one of the day, particularly after a hard day on the campaign, I think it was in the Badlands, I can't remember exactly, but he's writing to his wife, and they're in their tents, relaxing for the evening, and he's talking about the military orderlies bringing their mail, and the camp lanterns are going, and he writes to his wife, tells her that he had a really hard day, But he also related that he had to take a quote, nasty pill. And so I'm thinking, what's he talking about, nasty pill? And if you read the context of the letter, he's talking about being constipated. And so he doesn't name the exact pill that he takes, but I go into one of my end notes about some of the powders and things that they use for that as cathartics, and it's kind of amusing, some of charcoal powders and other aspects. So it's very interesting to compare those aspects of early medicine to some of the more modern things that we do today. But also another quick example is he treats frostbite. A lot of those soldiers in the campaign coming from there who suffered, for example, from Fort Totten down to Fort Seward, which was in the midst of the winter in March of 1876, suffered from frostbite. So one of the end notes, I talk about how they treated it then and today, which is not as much change compared to back then, but it's still interesting to see. And other things they talked about, rattlesnake bites. One of those injuries was treated with whiskey.
Well, that cures a lot of things.
Yes, it was an amusing story because this one soldier was bitten by a rattlesnake, and so the theory was that at that time, by getting them drunk with whiskey, the alcohol would flush out the poison. And so after this soldier successfully treated, and it was he probably had a dry rattlesnake bite, in other words, didn't get any venom. But after that, all the other soldiers were beckoning the three surgeons to give them all the whiskey because they wanted to have that. So that's an amusing story, too.
We're visiting with Dr. Todd Harburn. He is an orthopedic surgeon and writer, and his book is A Surgeon with Custer at the Little Bighorn, James DeWolf's Diary and Letters, 1876. It focuses this story on the role of Dr. James DeWolf, a wartime surgeon traveling with General Custer during the Battle of Little Bighorn. Our astute producer, Skip, has corrected me here. At the time of Little Bighorn, Custer was a lieutenant colonel. He was a general during the Civil War. Thanks, Skip, for correcting us for that.
Yes, that's he was. That's one of the things that almost all the historians we try to bring out in the books, that a lot of these, out of military courtesy, they were still referred to as the highest rank that they achieved, and this was brevet general status that he attained in the Civil War. But his real rank in the Army was lieutenant colonel, but out of courtesy, everyone still referred to him as general, as they did many of the other soldiers and officers at these. For example, at Fort Totten, Lieutenant Colonel Hunt was actually a brevet general, and they still referred to him as General Hunt when he was the commandant there.
I want to go back to what we were talking about just before that correction, and you were talking about speaking specifically at the battle site on the anniversary. And like I said really at the top of this interview, perspectives on history can change as we discover new things like firsthand accounts of a diary or just shifting cultural awareness. Why do you think it is so important to be at the battle site during the anniversary? And how have you, as a historian, started to look at this battle differently based on what research you did for this book?
That's an excellent question. This controversy about the battle has raged ever since it finished back then. And certainly there are two sides to the story, and the Native Americans of today, Indian tribes out there, still have concerns about that history. And those of us that look at it, of course, as westward expansion occurred, the way the Indians were treated was not really well. However, the way we look at this is to try to put this all in perspective and teach our young generation of today, not so much about the hostilities, but just to tell them about the history so that they can learn that there were legitimate concerns on both sides, and there were things that happened, and that's just the way it was, but we have to appreciate how history is and learn about these aspects and realize that these are just human beings that are involved in everyday life and factions, whether you supported one side or the other. And I think those are lessons, obviously, for today and certainly in today's society with a lot of differing opinions on cultural aspects and political things. So we try to use this as a as much as I enjoy history and reenacting and doing that, it's also part of a larger process that we really all need to remember and learn lessons from history.
Sure. How do you, as an amateur historian, as a lover of here, try to make sure that you are reading, you know, balanced accounts so that what you are putting forward is a more complete picture? Obviously, we don't have time machines, can't go back and go see firsthand accounts for ourselves.
Well, it's even though I was writing from a white Anglo-Saxon person's description of the expedition, you have to remember that's from his perspective. But in doing that, you still have to do research and look at all the other factions that were involved in that, and reading Native American accounts and other, comparing those to other perceptions of people, other soldiers and civilians that were involved in that. And you take the whole picture in. And for example, in doing this, as I mentioned, because of DeWolf just being an ordinary person, doing research and going back and learning about his life, where he came from in Pennsylvania and so forth, that was fascinating to me because, again, it gets to that human essence of what who these people were. And you learn about their family and their desires. And really, the way I can summarize this is Paul Hutton, who is a distinguished professor at the University of New Mexico and has written numerous books on the Little Bighorn and the Western Plains, summarized it in his foreword to my book that this is kind of a true American story. Here's a young, educated man, surgeon, and he gets married, and he and his wife has aspirations. They move west, and they're because of his military obligation as a contract surgeon, and they're caught up in this epic happening, and their dreams, where their lives were kind of changed forever on this. And it's kind of a success story because he came from a very farming community and then was an untrained hospital steward and then went to medical school at Harvard. And kind of the aspirations that we all have, I think, in the country for success. So comparing that then to now, a lot of things haven't changed. So it's just fascinating to me to get into these other aspects, not just the military aspects of the battle and the politics involved at that time.
We've known about Dr. DeWolf's diaries for some decades here, but this is the first in-depth biography on him and the most annotated version of his diary to date. Why have we overlooked his role?
My purpose in doing the book, the first time that I went out to the Little Bighorn in 2008, I was visiting the visitor center at the battlefield. Of course, I was drooling over all the hundreds of books that were in the bookstore and hoping that my wife wasn't going to get mad at me for spending a couple hundred dollars on books. And I came across a biography on Dr. Porter, the one surgeon that has survived the battle, and some other publications on Dr. Lord, the other surgeon that was killed. But there wasn't much on DeWolf. And as you mentioned, we've known that his diary and letters have been preserved in the at the archives, but they hadn't really been accessible. And as there was no biography on DeWolf, I said at that time, I said, oh, that's going to be my next book. And I made the appropriate inquiries and received permission from the State Historical Society of North Dakota and the Bighorn to administrators to do this. And my purpose was to not only do a biography on DeWolf, because a lot had been known about his earlier life and where he came from, but also to make these more accessible to interested readers and researchers and people, because his writings on the expedition and the letters, as I mentioned, to his wife in between those diaries tell exactly more in detail what happened during each day, correlate with some of the other studies that have been done, some of the other surviving journals on the expedition, such as Mark Kellogg's journal that Sandy Bernard, professor, wrote on about the expedition. And it's neat to correlate those and see the exact findings and put it all together as all these people came. So that was exciting for me to not only compare those, but again, bring new facts about DeWolf's life.
Yeah, how vivid of a portrait did he paint in these letters to his wife, Fanny?
Well, he was a very educated man, and he had a very penchant for detail, which I guess I kind of do, too. And after studying his life for about 8 or 9 years, I kind of think I had, of course, I'm biased opinion, but I kind of think I had the same kind of personality and things for detail he did. But he tells about terrain and weather conditions, and I talk about comparing those from that time to today. And also, you have to keep in mind that a lot of his letter, all of his letters to his wife, sometimes they get a little personal and mushy, and but that's what they were. They were his letters to his wife, and it was obvious that he adored her and really loved her, and that's just the way it was. And putting that again gives that human experience that he was caught up in these times, but he was also paying attention to his duty in detail.
Author and historian Todd Harburn visited with Prairie Public's Ashley Thornburg last Monday prior to the anniversary of Little Bighorn. Harburn's book, A Surgeon with Custer at the Little Bighorn, James DeWolfe's Diary and Letters, 1876, was just released by the University of Oklahoma Press.